Before I begin the sermon this morning, I just want to remind everybody and draw your attention to the weekly prayer guide that is you should have gotten as you came in with your bulletin. We are making these up every week and sending them home with you with some extra things to think and pray and reflect about on the sermon. We have been doing this for the past few weeks as we have made our way through Paul's letter to the Philippians in this sermon series. Will you pray for the one who preaches, for his sins are many? So let's pray. Holy and merciful God, may something of what is said and what is done and what is seen and what is heard of this church, of me, of us in this place, may it be of you and your work in our lives and in this, your world. In your holy name, we ask it. Amen. Is there anything that I can do for you? That is often one of the questions that we find ourselves asking people, like our neighbors, our friends, those people around us, when there's something tragic or awful or difficult that comes up and comes upon them in their lives, right? Is there anything I can do for you? Is there anything I can do to help you? Can I cook a meal? Can I drive you to a doctor's appointment? Can I take your kids for a few hours so that you can have some time to rest? Can I pray for you? When we get concerned about people, we want to help people. We want to help them. We want to offer our help, but it's not always easy to know how we can best help somebody in a situation. So we ask, is there anything that I can do for you? And sometimes there are specific things that do need to be done for a person, and sometimes there is actually very little that you can do or that anybody can do for the person, and that can leave you feeling very helpless. You don't want to be helpless. But we're never helpless. Because sometimes just asking that question is actually enough. You will recall that Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians in the midst of a very difficult time in his life. He was imprisoned. He was under capital charges. And it seems that the word of Paul's imprisonment had made its way around to all the churches that Paul had served through the Roman Empire. And when word of Paul's imprisonment reached the church of Philippi, the Christians in Philippi, they became concerned about Paul. So they sent word to him and they said, Paul, we heard about your imprisonment. Is there anything we can do for you? The scripture that I'm about to read, the scripture that we are going to read for us this morning, is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 14. And the scripture that we are about to read is Paul's response to that question of concern asked by the Philippian Christians. They ask him, is there anything we can do for you? And this is what Paul says back. And as I read Paul's response, pay attention, because I expect that at least part of this response will be very familiar to you. So let's listen for God's word to us this morning. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have renewed your concern for me, Paul says. Though you've had no opportunity to show it, I am not referring, of course, to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. And in any and in all circumstances, I have learned the secret to being well fed and of going hungry, the secret of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. But in any case, Paul says, it was kind of you to share in my distress. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Is there anything we can do for you? The Philippians ask Paul. Thank you. Thank you for asking, Paul says, but no. I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it's like to have little, Paul says, and I know what it's like to have plenty in life. In my life, Paul says, I have come to know what it's like to go through tough times, difficult times, hard times, and find myself in need. And I've also come to know what it's like to have more than enough, more than I will ever need. And you know what, Paul says, through it all, I have learned that there's a secret to it. to being content. A secret to life, if you will. You want to know what my secret is? You want to know the secret of life? The secret to being content when you are both well-fed and when you are hungry, the secret to being content when you have plenty and when you are in need is this: I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You ever heard that before? When I was a kid, growing up in Wake Forest, North Carolina, I remember we had this evening at our youth group at Wake Forest Presbyterian Church where we had this surprise guest speaker who was going to give the devotion for our youth group that night. None of us knew who it was going to be going in. We just knew there was a surprise. When we got there, there was a guy none of us recognized. And we're kind of like, who's this guy? Well, it turned out he was something kind of important. He was a hockey player. He was a hockey player for the Carolina Hurricanes. Now look, I have to confess that decades later, I don't even remember this guy's name. I knew exactly two Hurricanes players, Rod Brindamore and Ron Francis. That was it. This guy was not a star. I remember going home that evening after youth group, and I got on the internet and looked him up on Wikipedia, and he was like maybe on the third or fourth line of the Hurricanes. Not exactly a starter. He was a bench warmer. But still, it was pretty cool, right? To have a Carolina Hurricane speaking to our youth group, a real professional athlete coming to talk to our little church. And I remember we were super excited to get to ask this guy all kinds of questions about fame and sports. What's it like to be a professional athlete? What's it like to play professional hockey? Have you ever met Wayne Gretzky? Do you have one of those sports agent people? Are you a millionaire? Have you ever been on ESPN? Have you ever been in a hockey fight? What's the worst hockey fight you've ever been in? What's the worst hockey fight you've ever seen? Have you ever knocked anybody out? That's what we wanted to know. This guy, whatever his name was, this hockey player, he was happy to answer all those questions for us, but ultimately, he was interested in something else. He was there to tell us about something bigger than hockey. He wanted to encourage us. He wanted to motivate us, to inspire us as a person who had made it and found success in life. He wanted us to know the secret to his success, the thing that motivated him to work hard, to follow his dreams, and to never, ever give up on his dreams and eventually make it all the way to the NHL. It wasn't simply that he was a deeply talented skater, he said. It wasn't merely that he'd spent hours on a frozen pond somewhere up in Canada practicing his slap shot. It wasn't simply that he had had great coaches and teammates along the way. The deepest, truest secret to his success, he said, was something bigger, something deeper, and it was found in the Bible. It, in fact, was found in that verse, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what he told us. This hockey player guy believed in this secret power, the secret key to life so much that he had actually had it tattooed on him. He showed us right there on his right forearm. He said, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And what's more, he wanted more than anything, he wanted us, others, kids like us, to know the secret of that power as well. So he had brought us all a gift. He had this big bag full of faded, red, rubberish wristbands. You know the type, like the Live Strong type? And they all had that verse on them, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Take that wristband home, Mr. Hockey Guy said. Wear it. Let it be a reminder to you that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, he told us. I took that to heart. Now, I've never been much of a hockey guy, right? I mean, like, I enjoy watching the Canes play every 2 or 3 years when they make it to the playoffs. But I was a teenager from North Carolina, so hockey wasn't my thing. My first love was basketball. And I was decent at basketball. I mean, I'm tall. I was tall back in middle school. I'm a big guy now. I was a big kid then, but I wasn't particularly fast. I'm still not particularly fast. And I wasn't a great shooter, and I'm still not a particularly great shooter. But I still loved basketball, and I imagined that maybe I could be the next Charles Barkley or something. You know, the round mound of rebound. A defensive nightmare. So, I remember not too many months after meeting professional hockey player guy, I decided to try out for the middle school basketball team. And I remember I was nervous. I wanted to make the team. I also had all enough friends from school that were trying out, kids and friends that I'd played with who were also tall and also big, but unlike me, they were quick and they were good shooters. So I knew it was going to be hard to make the basketball team at Durant Middle School. But I remembered that devotion that the hockey guy had given us and that wristband that he gave me and how he made it to the NHL. And for weeks leading up to tryouts, I'd go out and I'd practice basketball on the goal in our driveway, and I'd shoot and I'd run layup drills until it was dark and I had to come inside, and the whole time I would wear that red wristband around my wrist. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, it said. I can do this, I told myself. I can make the team because it's Christ who strengthens me. And so the day came for the tryouts, and I packed my gym bag alongside my backpack so that I could stay after school, and I was sure to take that wristband and put it right there in there. I can make this team, I said, because it is in Christ who strengthens me, and in all things I can do things, all things in Him, because He is the one who strengthens me. And so that day after school, I went to tryouts, and about 8 minutes into the first scrimmage, it was clear that I was not going to make the team. Had three turnovers in three consecutive possessions. I think at one point I was so nervous, I straight up did that thing that happened in the 1982 national championship where you just throw the ball to the wrong player on the other team. It was bad. It was real bad. Coach was kind enough to keep me around for the first day. By the end of the second day, I was cut. I apparently cannot do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm sure you know that verse, right? You know that verse, right? Hockey guy is hardly the first person ever to swear by this verse. Philippians 4:13 is one of the most well-known verses of all Scripture. Certainly one of the most well-known verses in the book of Philippians. It is commonly cited as one of people's favorite verses. People quote it all the time as saying it's their favorite verse. Many of you have cited that verse to me as your favorite verse. It's a good verse. It's especially popular among athletes. I totally get why. Right? The idea is to remember to trust not in your own strength, not in your own ability, but in God's strength and God's ability, to let Christ strengthen you. The idea is to remind yourself that in the end of the day, who do all the accolades and the glory and the success, who does that really belong to? Does it belong to you? Does it belong to me? Or does it belong to Christ, to God? So on one level, right, this verse says something like this to us. You can work hard in life. You can have all the talent in the world. You can be given every privilege and every advantage of the world, but you can ultimately be set up completely for success. But a far better advantage than any other advantage that you could possibly get in life is the advantage of having to trust and getting to trust Jesus. And so, let Christ strengthen you, rather than trying to strengthen yourself. If you can let Christ strengthen you, rather than trying to strengthen yourself, then the sky is the limit. If you try to strengthen yourself, you'll be limited. But if you let Christ strengthen you, then there isn't anything you can't do. You will find success. Because if it is He who strengthens you, you can do all things. Now, a message like that will motivate you. A message like that will inspire you to trust Christ Jesus more. Because of course you want to succeed in life. We all want to succeed in life. Who doesn't want success in life, who doesn't want their hopes and dreams to come true? If I went and I preached that every week, everybody in the world would want a piece of this Jesus guy. But let us ask a question. Is it true? Is it true what Paul says in Philippians 4:13? Is it true that we can do all things in Christ who strengthens us? Let's go back and start with the hoop dreams of middle school Howard Dudley. What was the problem? What was my problem? What if I had just trusted Jesus more, if I had just a little more faith and let him be the one to strengthen me rather than myself? Would I have made the basketball team? Or was the problem that I just wasn't good enough to make the Durant Road Middle School basketball team? Let's take the inverse. What about all those kids who did make the team? Sure, some of them were Christians, but plenty of them weren't. Plenty of them weren't. They weren't praying for success. And I didn't see any other kids out there at tryouts wearing a red Philippians 4:13 bracelet to try out. So why did they make the team and not me? Or take hockey guy. Is it really true that the reason that his dreams came true and he made it all the way to the NHL is because he trusted Jesus to strengthen him and to take him there? Or was it his talent and his hard work and all those hours practicing slap shots on a frozen pond in Canada and world-class coaches and teammates that he had along the way that set him apart and made him one of the best hockey players in the world? So I ask again, is it true? Is it true? Can we really do all things through Christ who strengthens us? Because when I think about it, I can think of a lot of things that we cannot do even when Christ is strengthening us. And all this might seem trivial. It might seem like a trivial distinction. We're talking about sports, right? We're talking about a game. But when you step back and you look at the bigger picture, it's about everything, and everything else is anything but a game. At the end of the day, we all still want to know how to succeed. We all still want our hopes and dreams to come true. We all have things that we want to have and to be and to become and to do. And it doesn't matter if your dream is the NHL or the middle school basketball team or a career, a job, a family, your health, or an aspiration just for a happier, more content life. Hopes and dreams can have a way of always being dashed, of falling apart. So, why do we treat Christ like he's some kind of secret to life? As some kind of key that's going to unlock the life that you've always wanted? Faith is not a magical formula that's going to make your dreams come true. If anything, right? If anything, if you stand there expecting a man who's bleeding to death on the cross to make your dreams come true, well, it seems like you've got that wrong. So why then do we hand out red bracelets that are plastered with words like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? What on earth could Paul be talking about as he writes not from his dream home, but from the confines of a prison cell? What could Paul mean as he writes not from the pinnacle of his life, but from the depths of despair? Is he talking about success? No. No, he's talking about endurance. He's not talking about victory. He's talking about perseverance in loss. He's talking about resilience. He's talking about resurrection. Is there anything we can do for you? The Philippians ask him. Is there anything we can do for you? They ask him as he suffers from a jail cell. No, thank you. Thank you, but no, he says. I appreciate your concern, but I am okay. I will be okay. Because if there is anything that I have learned in life, it is how to be content, whether you have plenty or have nothing. I have learned how to be content whether I am a complete success or an utter failure. I've learned how to be content whether my dreams and hopes come true or whether they're ultimately dashed. Because here is what I have learned. Here is what I have known. It is not my own hopes and dreams of success that strengthen me and keep me going. It is Christ. It is Christ. It is Him who strengthens me and keeps me going. You see, if it's Him who strengthens us, then it's not that we cannot and will not fail. It's that all of our failures are going to be nothing in compared to His success for us. And if it's Him who strengthens us, then it's not that we are sure to succeed in life. It's that all of our successes in life are going to be nothing compared to His successes for us. And it is not that in Jesus your hopes and dreams will come true. It's the opposite. It's that in Jesus we can rest assured that God's hopes and dreams for us will come true and have come true. And that God's hopes and dreams for us are so much better than anything we could ever hope for or dream up for ourselves. So it's not that you can do anything you want through Christ who strengthens you. It's that you can do anything Christ wants through Christ who strengthens you. See the difference? So maybe what's happening is too often we maybe come to this verse asking the wrong question. We look to Christ to strengthen us and we say, is there anything I can do for me? Is there anything I can do for myself? But that's the wrong question. And guess what, friends? We already know the right question. It's the very question we feel compelled to ask anytime someone around us falls on difficult or hard times in need. Is there anything I can do for you? That's the question. Is there anything I can do for Him? Is there anything I can do for another? And so my prayer is that whenever we find another in a time of difficulty and in need, we might keep on faithfully asking that question. And maybe perhaps when we start to feel like we're helpless and that there's nothing we can do, there's no difference we can make, we just might then remember this verse. And we remember that indeed, there is plenty we can do. Because we can do all things through Him who strengthens us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask it. Amen.